Hi, I'm Ben, and welcome to Dishing Up. This is a light bite, and today we're going to learn all about za'atar. So za'atar, at least as the Lebanese use it, is a blend of oregano, sumac, thyme, and sea salt. It dates back to ancient Syria, but there are recorded uses of za'atar being buried with the ancient Egyptian pharaohs, who used it for rituals and health reasons. So I was first introduced to za'atar through my father, who grew up in Lebanon during the civil war in the 70s. We'd go there as a family for most of our summer holidays, and every morning when we visited Beirut, it would be boiling hot. It would be sort of 35 degrees, and I was, you know, an 11-year-old who did not enjoy the heat, but I'd managed to have a manouchi, which is essentially a flatbread with a za'atar and olive oil mix pasted on top of it, and it's a staple for Lebanese people, especially at breakfast. The thing about these manouche is that they're cheap and they're affordable. In fact, in 2017, there was a period of hyperinflation in Lebanon. The only price that stayed stable during this period of hyperinflation was the price of a manouche, because it was the only thing people were consistently buying. They almost fixed the Lebanese pound to the cost of these manouche, almost like Bergenomics, but for za'atar. So important is manouche with za'atar to the Lebanese people that UNESCO 2 years ago actually recognized it as part of the intangible heritage of humanity. And that's alongside things like flamenco dancing in Spain, watchmaking in Switzerland, and the general concept of a Mediterranean diet for the Mediterranean. I've got a bit of an expert in today to talk about za'atar. Bobsy grew up in Lebanon during the war, so he grew up eating manouche every day after school. Then, years later, as an adult, he moved to Hong Kong, and he founded some of the region's first vegan and vegetarian restaurants. They were called Bookworm Cafe, then Life, and then, more recently, Mana. He served za'atar flatbreads in all of them. As he tells the story, he brought za'atar to Hong Kong. He also happens to be my uncle. So, hi, Uncle Bobsy. I was hoping we could start with you telling us some of your early memories of za'atar growing up in Beirut.
Rumor has it that I fell into a bowl of za'atar as a kid, and that's why I'm a za'atar addict. But, you know, these are rumors. There's no photographic evidence of that moment in time. But that's the story in the family. So my memories, all the way to my earliest times, manouche was always affordable. So as students, we could always afford manouche. Next to our school, and your brother would know this, the primary school we went to, the secondary school we went to during the war, just up the street outside the main gates, there was a bakery, and they did manouche. Pretty much every morning, give and take, we'd all go over there, hundreds of us students just spilling out of the school and ordering manouche. You know, I kind of grew up with that food. Za'atar, we always had za'atar at home. So our neighbors who, you know, because Nanny Beirut was English, so our cuisine wasn't exactly very Lebanese, if you like, but all our neighbors had a blend or a bowl of za'atar in their kitchen. So it would be za'atar mixed with olive oil. And at any given moment, you'd run into the kitchen, you wanted a snack, you'd get the za'atar, put it on the bread, and just stick it in your mouth. Hardly chewing, just swallowing, because the flavor was so good.
Could you tell us a little bit about the cultural importance of za'atar and manouche to Lebanese people?
For a Lebanese person, the word za'atar is gold. If you mention za'atar, especially to the diaspora, people who are living outside of Lebanon, they just drool, they just salivate. It's one of those foods that will forever be associated with Lebanon, childhood. And, you know, my Palestinian friend, born and raised in Israel, but he's Arab-Palestinian. For him, za'atar is the same thing, you know. It's in our blood, if I'm speaking as a Lebanese. It's really well known in Lebanon that before exams, they always told us to eat za'atar. And za'atar is meant to, especially thyme, which is the main herb in it, is meant to be very good for mental clarity. So classic, before an exam, you've got your baccalaureate, you've got your A-levels, you're worried. Somebody would say, oh, go and grab a manouche. Why? Because za'atar gives you mental alertness, mental clarity, helps you think, basically.
Just as an important fact-checking exercise, my uncle actually did fail the baccalaureate at least 7 times. So I wonder if you could tell us a bit about what it was like bringing za'atar over to Hong Kong when you moved.
So my claim to fame is bringing in 5 tons of za'atar from Lebanon to Hong Kong, where we made za'atar the cornerstone of what Mana was offering, which was a flatbread with za'atar. And then there were 40 toppings to choose from, everything from avocado to zucchini. And occasionally we'd get the odd customer who says, listen, I don't want za'atar, it upsets my stomach. Can I have my flatbread without za'atar? And the staff would look at him and like, what? Blasphemy, how dare you? And of course, we'd give them the flatbread without za'atar. So I really turned Hong Kong onto za'atar. So many people had never heard of za'atar. It's really made its inways into Californian cuisine, French cuisine, you know, international cuisine in the last 10 years or so. You know, the chefs have gone wild with it because it's such a wonderful ingredient to cook with. Its flavor profile is salty, tangy, and earthy. And if you think about it, those flavors just go so well with so many different types of cuisine. I mean, I've even heard of za'atar ice cream. Can you believe it?
Right. So that's everything. Thank you for listening. I'm Ben. That was my Uncle Bobsy, and that was Dishing Up. Today, we've learned a bit about za'atar and what it means to the people of Lebanon and what it means for cooking today. And remember, who you are is what you eat.